Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Today we're talking about sleep and entrepreneurship. Oh, what a doozy this one can be. Maybe you're great at sleeping. And if that's the case, please, 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 my friend, know that that is a gift and I hope you cherish it each and every night as you lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep so peacefully, because that is not what everyone experiences. So if you're similar to myself and many other entrepreneurs, sleep can often be difficult and it's something I think we can often overthink. So this is not an episode to tell you to overthink sleeping and make it even harder. It's really more about understanding your sleep health and what works for you. So over the past few years, I've really personally been on a journey to have better sleep health. And of course, it's not perfect. I kind of laughed at the beginning and saying like, it's really difficult. It kind of is, but it is getting better. I know so much more about what helps me sleep. And so I can make better informed decisions. And I don't go into the nitty gritty of my specific personal stuff that I'm learning about sleep in this conversation. So at the very end, I'm going to share a few things specifically that have helped me. So stay tuned till the end because we didn't talk about it a ton in the episode, but I did want to make sure that I mentioned it at the end of this episode. But before I share all of my tips, I wanted you to hear from a sleep and stress coach that has done the research, she's done some testing, and she's worked with clients. And she's sharing 10 tips on how you can have better sleep even when it feels really stressful in your life. And overall, I just want to make this big caveat and big note is that everyone is different. So she's going to share some general tips. And what I want you to know is if you hear one that you know doesn't work for you, don't give up on the rest of the episode. Because just because one thing doesn't work for you doesn't mean it won't work for someone else and vice versa. So if something doesn't work for you, just let it go and listen to the next one and see if that would be a helpful thing for you to try. Because it's basically like you need to create your own sleep toolkit and ignore what other people talk about because every single person is different. There are some general things you can learn, of course, but everyone is different. So make sure that you're just applying this through the lens of what works for you. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. April Likens is a board-certified health coach. She is dual-trained at Duke Integrative Medicine and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Her story and articles have been featured in Wellbeing Magazine, Mantra Wellness, Better Humans, and Authority Magazine. She's driven by her own previous experience of hitting burnout, which led to a total health collapse, and she is fiercely passionate about helping professional women and female entrepreneurs reduce stress, find balance, and get their spark, energy, and joy back. She lives in Virginia with her family, and when she's not working with clients, she enjoys writing and speaking on wellness topics, traveling, photography, and searching for the perfect matcha latte. I will also add to April's bio that she is one of the most generous and kind people I've connected with. See, we were strangers to one another, but once we connected on LinkedIn, she very graciously shared tips with me, connections with me, and words of kindness, especially when I was publishing my book. I was thrilled to interview her earlier this year, and now I'm finally able to share this episode with you. But in between recording and this being released, I witnessed April navigating another health issue. She so willingly shared her health journey through social media, and it was incredible to see her bravery and openness about this struggle. See, April isn't one of those people who tells you to do something but doesn't do it herself. See, I watch from afar, and she really demonstrated what she teaches. What she shares with other people, she was really doing it. And she didn't sugarcoat it when things were difficult along the way. But I'm so happy to say that April is doing much better now, and I'm excited for you to learn from her today. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's hear from April. Thank you, April, for being here today. I am so excited to talk to you. But before we dive into all things sleeper stress, will you tell us a little bit about you and how you help your clients?
Yeah. Amanda, well, thanks so much for having me on the podcast today. It's amazing to be able to talk to you. And I'm thrilled to just have this conversation because it's so needed, something I've struggled with for many years, sleep and stress, since I'm really passionate about talking about it. But I live in Virginia with my family and fur babies in the Blue Ridge Mountains here. It's very lovely, really beautiful this time of year. I'm a board certified health coach that's triple trained. So I'm trained at Duke Integrative Medicine, Precision Nutrition, and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I really just help ambitious women and entrepreneurs kind of go from stressed and sleepless and burnt out to flourishing. And I work with clients primarily one-on-one through private stress coaching, but then I'm also working on writing a book too. And I love that you are getting ready to put out your book as well. So you, and then we've chatted a little bit about that offline. So you've been an inspiration and some source of some great help and support for me as well too. So I can't wait for that book to come out.
I am so excited too. And I'm excited to know that you're writing one. That is awesome. And my gosh, I feel like we could have a whole other conversation about book launching and writing the book and all of those things. But, you know, when I think about like the idea of tackling new things in our business, of course, that brings on stress in general. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, make sure to take care of yourself as you're going down this entire path of doing something new in your business. But one thing that you have talked about is this idea of sleeper stress. And this is interesting. So typically as a podcast host, I do a lot of research before I interview someone about the topic. So I know exactly what I'm talking about and going into it and all of this. Yeah. I decided not to look up sleeper stress because I was like, I wonder what that means. And I thought mm-hmm. that might be really interesting for you to know of, you know, I understand stress in general, but the idea of sleeper stress and what it immediately made me think of, and I wonder if it's right. So would you tell us what sleeper stress is?
Yeah. And it's not officially like a medical term per se, but if you Google it, it's essentially, you know, stress that people can have when they're trying to sleep, or they wake up and they're having trouble falling back asleep.
Ah.
And it can be caused by a variety of factors, you know, and really cause a lot of anxiety and worry. And of course, stress and sleep are one of those things. They're 100% interconnected. So if you're stressed, it's going to throw off your sleep. It's going to elevate cortisol levels, which can really cause you to have that wired but tired feeling. And I've been there many times, and it's torturous. It's like your body wants to go to sleep so bad, but there's this other like force that's like mm-hmm. not having it. That's like your mind, and they're just in complete odds with each other. And of course, if you are not sleeping, it's going to cause more stress and elevate your cortisol. So it can just create this really crazy, vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was wrong. So interesting that I was wrong about this.
Yes.
So what I was thinking sleeper stress was like a hidden stress. Hmm. Like I thought about it because of the word sleeper versus sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking it was a hidden stress. So this is so fascinating. Again, I typically don't do that of not looking things up, but I thought this is so interesting. So thinking about sleep and stress and entrepreneurship, my mm-hmm. gosh, yes. I mean, I don't know about everyone listening, but I wake up in the middle of the night and I am like, or can't go to sleep, like either way. And I am like writing emails and like marketing emails of like, oh, I have this idea, or, oh, I could do this in my business. Like I'm always thinking about things for my business and that can keep me awake. So I don't know if it shows up in that exact way for all entrepreneurs, but I have a feeling that entrepreneurship and sleep aren't necessarily the best of friends.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes kind of in line with two personality types. So I see that often in like high achievers and like type A types too, where, you know, and entrepreneurs are naturally just looking at the world through like a big picture lens, you know, where they have collecting all these wonderful ideas for things and they're visionaries. And so, yeah, sometimes often, you know, like you can have those great ideas at inopportune times. You know, it's like you're in the shower and you're like, you think of this thing and you're like, I need a whiteboard in my shower, you know, right? Or you're driving or you're taking a walk, you know, mindfully maybe, and you've left things, you know, at home so you don't have your phone or your notebook. You just quick trip around the block and you think of this brilliant idea. And sometimes in the middle of the night can be the same thing too, or in the evening, just depending on how people are wired. I think sometimes people have different chronotypes too. And so some people think better in the evenings. Some people think better in the morning, midday. And so, yeah, it can be definitely problematic with getting good sleep too. That's where there's some good techniques like a brain dump. These can be so helpful for just getting all of those things out of your mind and system, or just sleeping with a notebook beside your bed. There's a lot of brilliant entrepreneurs out there that do that, big thinkers, you know, that many of the billionaires that are, you know, this race and all of that have openly talked about how they take a notebook with them everywhere, including beside their bed, you know, because they'll have brilliant ideas and random times and you want to make sure they can capture them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I feel like it's been in a lot of podcasts and books and shows and all that, of like the notebook beside the bed, where it's like, you write the idea down because otherwise you could easily forget it, especially when you're trying to sleep. So that's a great, great tip. So thinking about how this came up for you. So it's a really interesting idea to really focus in and specialize on sleep and stress. And specifically, you're talking to us as entrepreneurs as well. And so how did this come up for you in your life? Because I would imagine you have a story around this that would probably connect with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, the cliff notes, if I give you the fast version, is, you know, this is a second career for me. So my dad died just about 13 years ago now. And so he was diagnosed with prostate cancer really aggressively, very young. It kind of came, blindsided us, came out of nowhere. So he was 49. Usually men are even tested for it 50. And at 49, they gave him a 50-50, even surgery. It was that aggressive. And so that time, that's really when I kind of just dove into, you know, what in the world is going on with all these, the rise in diseases and things that we're seeing. And aside from genetics, right, there was no family history of that sort of thing. And that's when I uncovered epigenetics, which is how our lifestyles influence, you know, our genes and can determine, you know, stuff like that too, and influence it in that way. So he and I together really just revamped our diets and lifestyles, like a complete, you know, 180. And that really, I believe, helped to kind of prolong his life. And I'm so grateful for that, because it gave us a couple extra years together before he passed. So I had made all these amazing, wonderful, healthy habits that I had not been doing, you know, before. And then he passed away. And I'm always transparent when I talk about this, because I feel like, you know, when we go through anything hard in life, like it's hard to feel really intense emotions depending on the situation. And so we can be really good at using other things to kind of distract us from our feelings, whether that's food, you know, it could be shopping, you know, gambling for people, drug use, any number of things, workaholism. You know, for me, that workaholism, I kind of inherited that from them, that bad habit kind of snuck back into my life. And so I kind of undid a lot of those healthy habits. So I was staying up until like 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning working, and I wasn't eating consistently. I wasn't exercising consistently. I was just, you know, full throttle, just hustle, 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 grind. And it, you know, I did that for a couple of years after he passed away, and it totally caught up to me with not only hitting burnout for sure, like a blaze of glory, but also ended up in a complete and total health collapse. And so when I say that, I mean, like, I almost literally could not get out of bed for about a year and a half. had to see dozens of doctors and specialists, you know, took forever. I mean, years for people to figure out like what the heck was going on. And there was layers of things. It wasn't just one thing. I had to see cardiologists and hematologists and neurologists. I mean, the full gamut. And so it was a really difficult and dark and kind of devastating period for me, and isolating too in that. And so just everything went wrong with my body, from hormones to sudden like severe food allergies to fatigue, chronic pain. I mean, it was insane. And so it was really, you know, in just the course of trying to find someone that wasn't gaslighting me, that actually believed me and that was willing to help, finally someone referred me to a health coach in Richmond. And she's a different type of health coach than I am. So she's a functional diagnostic health coach, which can run labs and all that stuff. She had health labs herself. And she was just 100% for me. She was like, I got you. Like, I've been through this. Like, I will help you get through this. And that was life changing for me, because again, you know, dealing with the medical community, unfortunately, there's, you know, sometimes not good doctors have bad complexes. And sometimes there's that gaslighting. If they don't, you know what's happening and you're with you, it's easier to just blame you and say, well, maybe it's all in your head, or maybe, you know, whatever. And that can be really devastating for somebody going through hard, you know, chronic health issues, you know, to be told that. And so just ended up changing my life. And it just kind of planted a seed about health coaching. And then just years later, I literally studied at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, really to heal myself. I had no intention of being a health coach, but people just kept saying, like, you should be a health coach, you should do this. And I just kind of realized, you know what, I think I can do this, and I should do this, because it aligns with my story. And so because I have such an intense story, that's why I'm so unbelievably passionate about helping others avoid the costly mistakes that I've made, because I've been there, you know, with all of the issues with severe insomnia and, you know, and stress and all the things too. And there's so much that you could, and hitting burnout. And of course, you know, the population is burnout right now. So I understand these things, but at the same time, you know, there's so many amazing things that you can do to prevent yourself from experiencing these things. To really be able to heal from it. I'm a firm believer there's always a silver lining. So while I loved the career that I was in before, I feel soulfully tied to this in a much more kind of calling sort of way, you know, that I get to really make a difference in the lives of so many different people through, you know, that dark and devastating experience in those years that were so difficult for me.
Right. My goodness. Thank you so much for sharing so much of that story. And I really appreciate it when someone comes on the podcast and is very open about what led them to whatever it is we're talking about. And, you know, I talk to entrepreneurs all the time. And one of the things that I see happen a lot, which I really love, and I think it's also super helpful for the person, for the entrepreneur on the other side, who's like, I don't know what I want to focus on. I think I want to do this thing, but I don't know. And it's that we can often help the previous version of ourselves. And that's exactly what you were able to do. While you didn't go into this part of your story of like, I'm going to be a health coach. And you know, like you didn't know that. But what you did was you helped yourself by being your own advocate in many different ways and trying to figure things out. And you were your dad's advocate, and you were doing all of these things and learning that now cue you up to help others. So thank you for going into that story, because that will, it just gives more context to why you are on the other side of this and helping others. Because that is, it's super insightful to know that the person has gone through it. And what I'm hearing in all of this is that insomnia and like sleep overall is kind of a common thread, which is what we're talking about today and dealing with that kind of stress. So this showed up for you and you're not sleeping. It's impacting so much of your life. And what are some things, like you talked about the brain dump, right? But what are some other things that helped you get to the other side of this idea of sleep or stress?
Yeah. Well, before we dive into techniques, I'll just tell you, I thought it was hilarious last night that I wrestled with insomnia. Like, you know, course, and I'm like, right. Oh, this is, of course, you know, it's like life, you know, or your God, or however you view things, you know, has a way of sometimes taking you through what you're going to be talking about as a kind of a teaching moment in that. So in full disclosure, I woke up at like somewhere between like 2 and 3 last night, look wide awake. And I'm like, I just had to laugh because I'm like, I'm doing a podcast tomorrow morning on, you know, sleep and stress. And I wasn't stressed. So I woke up because I had to go to the bathroom initially. And I went, but I was hot. I was like really hot. And so one of the health things that I had to deal with when the health collapsed was endometriosis. And so I had to have a few years ago. Still have my ovaries. I'm still cycling. I have no idea where my cycle is. You know, I can kind of get an idea based on like the elevated body temperature. So based on kind of last night, you know, what happened, I can make a strong estimated guess that that's right kind of when I would have been cycling if I was still having, you know, a menstrual cycle. And so, and that's common for most women, you know, right about that time, you know, you feel more hot and your body, core body temperature elevates. So I couldn't go back to sleep, not because I was worried about the podcast or the interview or anything else or any stress or anything. I was literally hot. So I thought, okay, what can I do? What can I do about this situation? And so I went and got a small glass of ice water, you know, don't want to drink a lot because if you drink too much water in the middle of the night, you know, you'll just keep running to the bathroom and that just causes another problem. So that helped to kind of cool me off a little bit. I turned the AC down 1 degree, just 1 degree, but that made a big shift too. And then I laid there and did probably say like 25 rounds of deep breathing exercises. And deep breathing is so helpful with stress and sleep. It's one of the quickest ways to regulate your nervous system. Often, most of us are operating in that fight or flight system. You know, when you practice deep breathing, particularly a longer exhale, it switches off that system and switches you back into the friendly parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest system. And so it usually takes, you know, more than just 3 times. And sometimes if you're a little more dysregulated like that in the middle of the night, you know, it can be like 20, you know, 30 times, but it can quickly get you back into that system. And that's the system that you want to be in for sleep. You know, is you want that system to be activated. So that's what I did last night and it worked. And I did that for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so and then went back to sleep. But one thing I thought of too, while we're talking about insomnia, just for listeners to be thinking, you know, that may or may not know what insomnia is, like the clinical kind of definition is first, it's a disorder, you know, so it's a common disorder that affects many millions of people. It's got to be diagnosed by a medical provider, but it's typically when you're experiencing sleep issues at least 3 nights a week or for more than longer than 3 months. So it can be torturous. It's again, that can like a wired but tired feeling at times too. So just something to be mindful of if anyone's listening and they're having, you know, some sleep issues, to kind of make note of how often you're having them and that sort of thing. And if you need to talk to, you know, someone like a medical doctor later too. But really good sleep starts with the habits leading up to sleep, you know, and things like managing your stress levels. But first, I always talk to people and, you know, it's first and foremost, it's seeing sleep as an asset. And I work with a lot of high achievers and I hear often from people and I've over the years, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead, you know, like sleep is overrated, that sort of thing. And I always laugh and I'm like, okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But tell me why you feel that way. But you know, prior to the Industrial Revolution, sleep was revered. I mean, for thousands of years, sleep was seen as this amazing thing. And then the Industrial Revolution hit, and then suddenly it was like, you snooze, you lose, and you started hearing all these things we've all grown up with, right? And we live in this hustle society where, you know, just constantly being on and doing more and grinding is, you know, seen as a badge of honor. And so for a lot of people, and maybe those listening that are those high achievers, it's first really seeing sleep as an asset, that it's this time of intense neurological activity where there's areas of the brain like that up to 30% more active when you're sleeping. It's you're lowering your cortisol levels, your stress hormones, it's regulating blood pressure. You are raising memories. It's wiping proteins in the brain that's linked to cognitive disease and decline. And so there's all this amazing stuff that's happening. So it's first seeing, okay, sleep is actually a good thing. Like, and I always tell people, if you want to feel your best inside and out, it starts first with your sleep. So seeing that as an asset. And then I don't know if you follow, are you familiar with Dr. Matthew Walker? I'd love to follow him. He's, I believe he's in Stanford, and he's one of the world's leading sleep experts. But he, if you listen to him talk in his TEDx talks, he often talks about sleep being like landing a plane, meaning when you are landing, on a runway, from wherever you've been traveling, the pilot, you don't want the pilot to just aim for the runway and just nosedive, right? Like that, not if you're going to survive, you don't want to end up plane that's in pieces. You want to gradually descend that plane and then safely land it. And sleep is very similar, where you have to gradually, slow your roll in the evening and kind of have a routine that signals to the body that it's time to go to sleep. And so adults, like children, really need that signal that says like, hey, it's time to unwind. In the same way that if you have kids, there's this whole routine, and it may be like bath time and then story time, and whatever the routine is, that we still need some sort of routine in the evening that signals body, hey, we're going to land the plane. We're going to start descending gradually. And so that could be, having, of course, consistent schedules. Was all over the place, kind of like I mentioned, where mine was nuts back when I had my health collapse leading up to that. That can include, aiming for those 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And it's coming up with some sort of a routine that relaxes you. And everybody's different, right? So for you, it could be reading a good book, before bed. Somebody else may really love doing like some light yoga. I have other clients that they love an evening walk. So like after dinner, they'll go, walk with their family or a partner, and they enjoy that. Walking is a wonderful and another very quick way to regulate your nervous system and de-stress and kind of switch a friendly rest and digest system. Bath, shower, whatever relaxes you. And really, putting devices away before a couple hours. And I could go on and on about environment too. So let me know how much you want to know.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the really honing in on the fact that sleep is important, because I think that so many people can get caught in that trap of, I only need like 4 hours of sleep, or, mm-hmm. And maybe that's true for some people. I've definitely heard people say that. And I've seen it, and I've thought, but you look exhausted. Like I mean, you may feel fine, but you don't seem fine. Yeah. Like I've been on the other side of that. And so I think it's really easy to get in that, idea of like, oh, I just need less sleep. So that idea of sleep being very important to people, to all humans, because mm-hmm. it is the reset, is super helpful. So thank you for calling that out. And I really enjoyed the analogy of landing the plane.
Yeah.
That is something that is just a great visual of like, okay, you've got to take it slow towards the end of the day to set yourself up for success. Hey there, I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before, or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal, and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. I just think it's so important. My husband and I have been trying to figure out the best sleep routine over the last several years. And we've just been testing things, different ways of going to sleep, different times, all of that, and monitoring our sleep. So one of the things, I don't know if you like these or not, it doesn't matter, but we use Oura rings.
Yeah.
And that's been a really cool just tool for us to figure out when we go to sleep, how much deep sleep we have. Like, it's been really fun to track things. So do you encourage people to track? So like, maybe they say, you know, I eat at 6 p.m. and it helps me go to sleep if I eat at this point. Do you encourage people to track things like that as they're trying to learn their routine?
Sometimes it just depends. First, I always tell people to track the quality of your sleep, because studies have actually shown that, you know, how our perception of our sleep is usually off based on our actual sleep. So we often perceive our sleep to be worse than it really is for a lot of people. And so for some people, and you'll hear Dr. Walker talk about this a lot, you know, if somebody's in a state of insomnia and they're really wrestling with their sleep, tracking it can actually be kind of like throwing gasoline on the fire for them because it creates more stress and anxiety. So it can kind of create orthosomnia, where there's this obsession, similar to like orthorexia, you know, there's this obsession with tracking your sleep and getting the perfect sleep that it actually backfires on you.
Right.
And you can create too much stress on that sort of thing too. So, you know, first I would say it's knowing your sweet spot, but back to what you were saying. So, the argument I would say against like the 4 hours sleeping is studies have shown that under 6 hours of sleep, you actually turn on those dangerous genes that we were talking about with epigenetics. So those genes that we don't want switched on get switched on pretty quickly under 6 hours for anybody. And so, and you know, there's lots of studies on performance and sleep, and, you know, Stanford did a huge big one back in the 2000s where they were studying swimmers and they were studying the football team, and they were just increasing their sleep. I don't remember if it was like an hour or so. It's just a little bit, just to kind of see what happened. Back then they were like, they had no idea what that would do. But they went on to absolutely shatter records, and it blew them away. They were like, we were not expecting this, you know, to have that drastic of a performance. And so that's when they went on to study the football team. Like, that's why now the last decade, particularly the last few years, you're really hearing like top elite athletes as well as CEOs talking about the importance of sleep. Like LeBron James, for example, you know, he gets a crazy amount of sleep. So he gets like 12 hours of sleep and he takes naps, but he's very open about how important sleep is to his basketball game. And when his sleep is off, like his games are off too. And so there's also this perception, and that studies have shown, that we perceive that we're functioning in a much better way when we have a lack of sleep than we actually are. Similar to like a drunk driver, you know, you think you're driving great if you're under the influence, but in reality, it's a mess, right? And you know, and so sleep deprivation is really kind of the same way. And then there's literally only like, there's a small percentage, I don't know what the percentage is, it might be like 1%, that actually have the short sleep routine where you can get, you know, under 6 hours and not function like a drunk driver.
Right.
But it's super rare. And my understanding is it's not easy to test for, so it's hard to tell if you've got it anyway. So I would just assume that you don't have it for those listening, you know, and that, you know, it's aiming for that 6-7.
Yeah.
It's 7 at least, you know, is really crucial. But it's again, it's figuring out where your sweet spot is. So for those listening, you know, it's where in the 7 to 9 hours do you feel your best the next day, where you feel alert, you feel energized. So that can be really important to track, more so than obsessing about the numbers and like how much you're in deep sleep and that sort of thing. But or thinking and measuring, okay, well, how do I feel? And kind of gauging, okay, and you'll start to see patterns of like, okay, you know what? Actually, I feel better at 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And some people need more. You know, it's like, no, I actually feel better at 8.5 or 9 hours. And there's also different seasons in our lives too, where maybe we're under more stress. You got a new baby, any number of things, you know, as a big life event happening. And you might find that you do need a little bit more sleep during that. But that's okay, you know, to give yourself that grace to have a little bit more sleep.
Right. I love that you brought up that we need to know ourselves when it comes to tracking, because I can totally imagine that happening for a lot of people, of that actually stressing them out. It has been super helpful for me, but without knowing it, I did something that you just recommended, which is really neat. Yeah. So when I wake up in the morning, I do ask myself, how do I feel before looking at what my sleep was? Like, I always just gauge, like, do I feel alert? Did I wake up on my own? Did, like, all of these different things before looking at the actual data. And then I have noticed that several times of like, I actually feel pretty good, even though it kind of is a lower sleep score than I normally have or whatever, but I feel okay. Like, I just feel like I got enough rest for whatever reason it is. And so it's worked really well for me, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of tracking has been helpful for me, but I don't obsess over the data. It's just information for me. So to someone else who was like, oh my gosh, that would stress me out. Like, don't get the Ring. Don't get the mattress. Don't get the whatever it is that's going to track your sleep, because it's not helpful for you.
Yeah. Or just take Amanda's advice and look at it after. That's where the studies have shown. Like, if you look at it and you don't think about that first, and you look at it and it says like, oh, your sleep was worse, you know, maybe last night, and then you automatically project that kind of onto how you feel, versus, like you said, thinking about, okay, how do I actually feel? And then looking at the numbers and then taking it with a grain of salt. Because I have seen some studies here recently where they're not all accurate. I mean, they claim to be accurate, but if there was, and I forget where the study was, it might have actually been through Precision, something that Precision Nutrition was talking about, where they had measured all the different sleep devices. And it was varied all over the place. So there was no consistency. Like, they were completely inconsistent with all their findings, and even some of the Rings too. It was varied. So it's good to track, just to kind of know if that's your thing and you enjoy doing that, just to kind of keep an eye on it. But the best gauge is always just checking with yourself, because you know your body inside and out, and you can kind of gauge how you feel from day to day.
Right. I mean, it's such a big difference when we can do that. And I don't know about you, but just overall, I feel like we as humans are just really busy, and we're just focused on so many other things, that taking the moment to pause and say, how does my body feel, is something that not everyone does. And I have consistently, as an entrepreneur specifically, the more that I can do that, whether it's related to sleep or my health overall, like, whatever it is, like, if I can pause and say, how am I feeling right now? I am a better human. I'm a better entrepreneur. I'm a better wife. I'm a better anything when I can ask myself that. But as someone who is a very driven, high achieving person, I have to force myself to pause. That is something I openly talk about all the time, is that is not natural for me to do. I actually have to force myself to be like, okay, Amanda, slow down and ask yourself, how is this feeling right now? So it's something I've learned over time, and I'm not perfect at all, but it's getting better every day.
I love that. And that's actually one thing that I always tell clients, is one of the most important things you can do daily is check in with yourself for 30 seconds, at least once a day, maybe a couple times a day. And yes, how am I feeling? But also, what do I need today to thrive? Because the cool thing about that is it's going to change daily. So today you might be, maybe it rained all weekend, and today you ask yourself that question. You're like, oh my gosh, I need some vitamin D. Like, I need some sunshine. I feel like I want to work outside for 20 minutes, or go sit outside for 20 minutes. Or, you know what? I'm craving a walk and some fresh air. Or it's been a little while since I've connected with another person in person. And you know what? I'm craving getting together with a girlfriend and having a cup of coffee, you know, or getting a smoothie or something of that sort. And so it's, the body's always communicating with us. It's just, we're often not listening. It's like the the dashboard lights in the car, right? So if your fuel tank is low, it'll pop on and say, hey, do you want to find, you know, the next gas station? If you're low on oil, that might pop on. And so the body's very similar. And I think especially as high achievers, and even for me, like those of us that were athletes, I was taught at a very, very young age, like you ignore your body. If you push through it, if you're in pain, you suck it up, keep going, you injure something, we'll wrap it up, we'll put you back in the game. And so, you have to almost learn to get back into your body, to be connected with that. Because again, you ignore it long enough, it's eventually going to start screaming, and it's those little signals throughout the day that often we miss because we're so focused on doing and achieving and staying and, and accomplishing and whatever we're doing, that we miss those little signals until it's yelling later, or you have finally the neck tension that turns into a headache or migraine. And that sort of thing. So, yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because it's so important to just take that 30 seconds and pause and say, how am I doing today? And what do I need today to thrive?
I love those reflection questions so, so much. I thank you so much for bringing those up, because that is so good. And as we're, wrapping up this conversation of really reflecting on that of, what do I need today to thrive? And you said, like, all it takes is taking that 30 seconds and asking that question. And I'm sitting here thinking, yes, that is all it takes, but how easy it is to forget to do that. So if someone's listening and you're like me, it's like, put the post-it note on your mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, ask yourself that. Or for me, I often have to put a post-it note on my computer because I'm sitting here or reminders on my calendar, like, Amanda, get up and go take a walk, walk away, because otherwise I won't do it. And not everyone needs that. So that's not what everyone needs, of course, but for people that fall into the bucket of like, if you're finding yourself saying like, yeah, I've got to try and start doing that, it's not a hope situation we have going on here. Like, you can't just hope that you're going to remember that. You have to actively do something to make it happen, because it's not natural for you yet. And then there's the other people who are like, I do that all the time. And I'm like, you have a gift, my friend. Like, hold on to that gift, because it's not something that everyone has. So thank you for that. That, right. But I meet people often in my realm, because oftentimes people attract like the opposite in terms of coaching or whatever. Yeah. And I have so many people in my audience that are like, I ask myself how I'm feeling, and I'm like, that is beautiful that you do that. Like, it's so beautiful. So is there anything else? Like, I feel like that is the thing I want to leave people with, is the, how can you thrive today? But if there's anything else you'd like to share on this topic, I'd love to give you the space to do it.
Well, with sleep, I mean, there's so many things that I found really helpful for getting better sleep for me, too, that I can share with us, if that would be helpful for you and listeners. And so I had a client, I guess, at the beginning of the pandemic, that started putting his phone away at about an hour or so before bed, for a couple reasons. Like, he was just tired of feeling like he was always tied to it, but he also was noticing that it was kind of diminishing the quality of his relationship with his wife and his children. And there have been some studies that have shown that. It's actually fascinating where, and I think that's what prompted him to want to do it, is he read an article where if your phone is in sight of other people, like, say you're having dinner and your phone's on the table and you're not even messing with it, like, it's just there, the other people at the table will rate the quality of the connection with you as lower just because the phone is there. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting to him. He's kind of nerdy and geeky, and so he was like, I'm gonna experiment with that. And me being a coach, and like, I like to practice what I preach, I'm like, I'll try this too, And I'm, full disclosure, like, I'm as addicted to my phone as anyone else, right? They're designed to be addictive. All the apps and all the things, and the dopamine hits. So I wrestle with that just as much as anybody else. So I started also kind of about the same time with him, putting away my phone about an hour before bed. And it was so freeing. And then I gradually bumped that up over time. And so, like, away right after dinner. And that's super helpful for me, because the cool thing about phones is, yes, as crazy addictive as they are, they're like 100% of sight out of mind. And so if it's in the other room charging, or in airplane mode, and it's in airplane mode, and you're not going to get a notification unless you turn it back on, and you know that temptation to look at your phone is pretty much zero. So that was really helpful for me. And also helped, you know, just me to feel more present in the evening. And it's helped for burnout too, because when we're constantly, you know, on our devices, the brain and body is just not designed to be, you know, on all day long. It's far too overstimulating, and it's way too overstimulating to just bang out emails, you know, late into the evening and then try to jump in bed. That would be an example of nosediving and trying to land like at the runway instead of gradually descending, you know, putting away the I stop working usually around like 6:30 or so too. But another thing, couple things that have been super helpful for me is dimming the lights in the evening. And so that helps to increase your natural melatonin production when you do that. You know, putting away the devices does that too. So when we're looking at our devices in the evening, it suppresses that natural melatonin production. And it actually says to the body, like, don't go to sleep, stay awake. So it can be more stimulating. And our natural light, most of the natural lighting that we have in our homes these days mimic the same light spectrum as blue light spectrum as well. And so it create that same thing. So after dinner, you know, just kind of dimming the lights around the house can be super helpful so that the body can naturally start producing melatonin. And then in the mornings, I try to get some form of natural sunlight in the morning, which can help with circadian rhythm. You know, our bodies are designed to really follow, you know, the sun cycle. And so if you can get some early exposure in the morning to sunlight without wearing sunglasses, you know, covered hat, that sort of thing, and not obviously sitting in the sun, but just looking out and enjoying whatever you're enjoying, sitting outside for a few minutes, that can reset your circadian rhythm, can really help with sleep issues too. And then just getting some form of movement is always helpful. That's a double whammy, right? So it's so great for stress relief. And all movement is beneficial to the body. So if you're not into like running and HIIT workouts and CrossFit, that's not your jam, that's fine. Like you do whatever you enjoy. Maybe that's bar for you. Maybe that's yoga. Maybe it's light stretching. Maybe it's walking. You know, all of it's beneficial. All of it switches you back into that, you know, parasympathetic nervous system, that rest and digest system. And that will help your cortisol levels and will help with sleep too. And then of course, having the right environment is super important as well. So making sure your bedroom is dark, you know, it's quiet, and you want the temperature, you know, around like 65 degrees Fahrenheit, give or take. You know, that's kind of what sleep experts recommend, but for some that's a little cool. And so it, you know, it's somewhere in that area, but anything over, 80 degrees and under 55 degrees, like it's pretty possible to fall asleep too. And then the other tip that we talked about earlier is the brain dump. And so if you're noticing you're having a lot of just thoughts and anxiety in the evening of like, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to do this, and this tomorrow. And you're thinking about all those things, just writing it down or, you know, at the end of the day, you know, looking ahead the day and kind of strategizing and planning that, writing down your top priorities can be super helpful too, to kind of curb that rumination that can happen in the evenings for a lot of us as
thank you so much. Those were great tips. And as you were talking, I was like, okay, like I'm wondering how I can just facilitate even more conversation around this. So who knows what I'll come up with, but you know, people sharing tips about what helps them sleep. Cause sometimes it's just sharing an idea like you just did that someone can try, you know, mm-hmm. reading that article about the phone being on the table and it impacting a relationship, you know, like that was so impactful for me. So thank you for sharing those ideas mm-hmm. and we'll see what comes up. Hopefully I can get some more ideas tossed mm-hmm. around as well. That's a really neat idea.
And I forgot caffeine, but that's a big one I see all the time with clients that can 100% throw off your sleep. Just because depending on metabolism levels, you know, it can stay, if you say if you have a cup of coffee at noon, a quarter of that can still be in your system at midnight. Like who's going to drink, you know, a quarter cup of coffee at midnight and then, you know, try it on purpose right. to like, try to go to sleep. And so that's another one that's a sneaky one. If you want to talk about sneaky things, when you're talking about sleeper things, like right. having a sleeper, you know, sleep attacker, you know, where that one can... It can elevate cortisol levels, you know, which can really overstimulate you, but it can massively throw off your sleep. depending on when you're drinking it. And so that's another one that's really helpful to know your sweet spot. Like we were talking about your sleep sweet spot, knowing, okay, so where in the 7 to 9 hours do I feel my best the next day? What's your caffeine cutoff sleep? I was working with a client last year and she was just wrestling with her sleep and exercising and doing a lot of eating clean, doing a lot of things really well. We're trying to figure out like why her sleep was off. And we eventually started looking at caffeine and she was drinking it into the mid-afternoon. And so caffeine's a tough one, right? So it's like, it's hard to just go cold turkey. It's easier to kind of back it up slowly, like one less cup of coffee, you know, or one half less cup of coffee, you know, and gradually kind of decrease that. But, you know, experts kind of recommend noon as cutoff for most people, but for her in the experimentation, it's just trial and error. And so much of health and wellness, right, is it's just treating it like an experiment. It's seeing, okay, trying this, seeing if that works for you, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. So in her experimenting, she figured out that her actual sleep, her cutoff time for caffeine is 10 in the morning, that anything after 10 for her just really jacked up her sleep. And so that was helpful for her to experiment with and play around with.
Yeah, that's a great tip for sure. Yeah. And I would say that's probably one that changes over time too. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen that change over my life of like when the cutoff is that's helpful. So just keeping monitoring that for sure. Thank you so much, April, for all of these questions and all of these insightful insights that you have offered up. So I know people are going to want to know more about you. So where can they find you online?
Yeah, they can. So those listening, if you want to connect, you can find me on my website. It's aprillikens.com or on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn's my same name. And Instagram is globelovely. And then I have a couple new free resources too for people. So one is a guide called 15 Ways to Say Goodbye to Chronic Stress for Good. So it's got some of the things we talked about today, if you didn't take notes, and it's got a lot more in there as well, just to help lower stress levels so that your stress is not interfering with your sleep. And then I have a new interactive quiz called Are You Headed Towards Burnout, which will kind of just give you a gauge of where you are on the burnout spectrum too. But again, you can connect with me at aprillikens.com and definitely say hi. So if anything resonated, it's always great to hear from listeners and hear takeaways too. And Amanda, thank you so much for having me on today. It's just such a big topic. I feel like we probably could have talked about for a couple more hours too, right?
Exactly. I mean, sleep is one of those conversations that's why I was kind of thinking like, oh, this can be such a bigger conversation that we can tap into for sure, because it's something that we'll always need to think about and be aware of changes in our life in different seasons. So thank you for giving us the tools and the questions to ask ourselves so that we can be better with our sleep, with our routine overall. And I will make sure to have all of those links in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, April, for being here.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed all those tips and you're able to take at least one, or hopefully a few, and give them a try. But as I promised at the beginning, I wanted to share a few things that I've done to improve my sleep health as well. So the first thing was I listened to a podcast episode on the Huberman Lab podcast, The Sleep Toolkit, and I'll make sure to link that in the show notes as well. And it's all about your sleep cycle and circadian rhythms. And this set off a chain of events, the first of which I realized getting sunlight in your eyes in the morning is what actually helps you sleep at night. And so every single morning, you can see me out in our backyard getting sunshine in my eyes. And this is when it is snowing, when it's raining, when it's sunshine, like all of the times. Like, it's funny, my family now takes pictures sometimes because I look ridiculous out there, but I'm getting sunlight in my eyes. And it's really been a big thing that has changed a lot about my sleep rhythms and me understanding what works. So this podcast episode is all about the science. And if you've listened to the Huberman Lab podcast before, you know it's all science-based and it's a great podcast. I highly recommend it. So I'll make sure to link that in the show notes. But that's really what kicked off everything, is starting to understand about sleep. And from there, I started tracking my sleep. Now, everyone has preferences. I mentioned it in this episode that I use an Oura ring to track my sleep. And some people hate tracking sleep and some people don't. Like, so if you like it or if you're interested in it, I love the Oura ring. It has worked really well for me, but find what works for you. And specifically, the reason that I like it is it's been helping me understand like how much I'm moving throughout the night, what is helping me sleep versus what doesn't. So I learned that if I eat after 8 p.m., it impacts my heart rate, which impacts my sleep. So I try not to eat after 8 p.m., and it's been a big difference. Not that I did it all the time before, but now I'm very aware. Like I know, oh, if I eat late, I should probably stay up a little bit later because it'll impact my sleep. So if you are interested, I have a coupon code to save $40 on an Oura Ring, and it's in the show notes if you're interested. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out on Instagram. I'm happy to answer any questions about how I use it and why I use it, all that good stuff. Another thing that we actually used many, many years ago that helped with sleep, but we didn't really know how it was going to impact our sleep, is the lighting in our house. So at first, if you're a student or a client of mine, you've probably heard me talk about this and how my husband came to me and was like, I think we should buy some of these light bulbs. And they're called Hue, H-U-E, Hue Lights. They're by Philips. And I have no affiliation with them, by the way. I don't have any affiliation with Oura either, but I have a coupon code for you. But for Hue Lights, what we did is we were noticing with my two stepkids that it was during high school and it was just really stressful. I mean, if you have teenagers, you understand like there's a lot of pressure and school stuff, after school activities and all of this. And so nighttime was really stressful around here. And so we were just trying to think of how can we support these kids and make it a little more calm and easier to wind down after a really active time of after school activities. And so he said, my husband was like, let's get these light bulbs. And I was immediately like, absolutely not. These are very expensive light bulbs. That sounds crazy, but I am happy to say they are well worth every dollar. And I know they're expensive. And that's the reason I'm saying this is because I was really like, I only looked at the price and I was like, no. But we tried it. We tried it by buying the starter kit, which I believe comes with three light bulbs. And, you know, we were like, here's the intro. We'll just see what it does. And that was so impactful. What it did is we set a timer and it's like, and you can do this with other lights, but these lights very specifically, you can set them to different colors. And so you can mirror basically the sun rising and the sun setting. And so we put the house to sleep and we now have them throughout our entire home. And so the entire house basically starts to go to bed at a certain time and it naturally calms everyone down and makes everyone tired because of the light. It's the circadian rhythm. We didn't know what we were doing a few years ago. We know now what works. And so that has been a huge thing for us. And that's something that we did not tell the kids we were doing. We just did it and saw the actual result in not just ourselves, but them as well. So that was a really big one. I'll link to it in the show notes. But again, I know it's an investment. We did it basically room by room in our house. And now the entire house has the Hue lights with the exception of like a handful of things, but it really works well. It's great for lamps. That's a great one, like next to your bedside. It's like really nice to like have that. You can have like reading setting and change it all. Anyways, I cannot rave about these lights enough because of how impactful they are, but I also know that they're not accessible to everyone, but they're a great option, especially if you can do it slowly like we did, because you can take the lights with you. They don't burn out like a normal light bulb. You're not replacing them. You buy it once, that sucker's going to last for a really long time. So that is something that we did. And the other thing that we have done over the last year or so is morning movement. Now, I have a yoga practice and I do some other exercise as well, but specifically, my husband and I have started to go on a walk every single morning. This also helps get the sunshine in our eyes. So I'm not just standing in the backyard anymore. We're actually going on a walk. I mean, we don't do it if it's raining, you know, but if it's cold or hot or whatever, we're still doing it. But we don't do it in the rain. We do something else. But pretty much every morning we get up and we go on a walk, about a mile or so, mile and a half. And that has been super helpful for our sleep as well. Again, it's getting that circadian rhythm. So we're getting our sunshine in our eyes, but we're also getting up and moving our body. And there have been days where neither one of us wanted to get out of bed. We were like, I'm tired. And the other one will be like, it's okay. We're going to do this. We're going to go. And I know not everyone has a partner that can help you get that motivation, but you know, find an accountability buddy to walk or talk to someone on the phone as you're walking or something. And you can have that if you need it. But the morning walk has been really helpful just to get us up on a routine basis. And it does help with sleep as well. So those were my tips. You heard from April. But what I want you to really understand and take this home as your next step is find what works for you. If all of these things that April listed, that I listed, don't work for you, ignore it. It's okay. The thing is, you have to find what works for you and use that. Ignore what everyone else is saying. You can use the data, the research, the suggestions from other people, but if it doesn't work for you, find what does. Don't just say, oh, that didn't work. Like, nothing works for me. Something does work for you. It absolutely does, because you are a human being and human beings are on these circadian cycles. You can find what works for you and helps you sleep better. The reality is you're probably not going to love it all. Like, that's the reality. So if you have a habit like myself of being on your phone, research says you can read all the data if you're a data person. Like it says, do not look at your phone 2 hours before you go to bed. That's a really hard thing. And I would bet most people do not want to do that. And so it's a really hard thing to put away the phone or to whatever, but find what works for you, even if you don't do it all the time. Like, it's okay to do things that you know are not great sometimes, you know? Like, if you're like, you know what? I'm going to eat late. It's fine. It's an every now and then thing. Like, I eat later. I don't have like a hard cutoff for when I eat. I just, on a regular basis, I know what works for me, and especially when I need more sleep, I know what works for me and I can tap into that hardcore versus, you know, it's okay. I'm getting okay sleep, so I'm going to choose to do these other things and that's fine. And you can approach it the same way. I think it's important to find what works for you, and also important to not put so much stress on it, because I was just talking with a friend the other day, and we were talking about how sometimes putting too much pressure of tracking your sleep or trying to get the best sleep possible, it can be more stressful in the end. So just loosely hold this and say, what works for me? What doesn't work for me? And that way, you know, when you need to get a lot of sleep or you need to get the best sleep because you've got something really important, you know what to do that will be helpful for you. So I really hope that all of these tips have inspired you to prioritize your sleep and figure out what works for you. So until next time, give yourself permission to get better sleep and lots of grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.